get into the word here. So go to Proverbs chapter 3. I did talk to a few people around different places, and you know, as far as I know, believers have been doing pretty good. Nobody has gotten seriously ill, and we're blessed about that we know of. So, chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 1, it says, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You know, God's word tells us many things. It gives us great amounts of information. It says in Peter that it gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of him. It tells us about God himself. It tells us about his son, Jesus Christ. It tells about all he's done for us, all he gives us, all the promises he makes, and his commitments. God has made many commitments to us. You know, when he makes a promise to somebody, and like with Abraham, a covenant, that's a commitment. It gives us instruction on how to live, and it gives us knowledge and wisdom concerning life. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit here, some knowledge and wisdom as we conduct our lives, especially in this interesting time in which we live. So the first thing it says here is, forget not my law, forget not his word, and let thine heart keep my commandments. And the word keep is the word guard. You know, keep those commandments in your heart, the depths of your mind, the innermost part of your being. Then in verse 5 it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And what does it mean to trust? It means to rely on, depend on. You know, we trust in a lot of things. And some things in life we're so used to that we absolutely trust in them, and when they don't work, you know, it surprises us. You know, we rely on, we depend on electricity, and if something happens, you know, it's a big deal. It's an inconvenience sometimes. Sometimes it's dangerous, especially in the wintertime if your heat goes off. But God is always reliable. He never goes off. He never gets interrupted. He's always there for us. His ears are always open to our prayers. He's always watching over us. Wherever we go, he goes with us. He is ever present for us. So it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, if you're going to put your trust in something, you would put it in God. And lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, when we have that word living in our heart, just like what I read before about, you know, the storms of life, when you have that word deep in your heart, you trust in God regardless of the situations, and you stay peaceful. You know, when you stay peaceful, there is no fear in your life. When you stay peaceful, you have no concern. You know, and you're confident that God will take care of you. So we don't want to lean to our own understanding. We want to let God give us understanding. We want to let God show us which way to go and what to do and how to deal with things and how to process things. And his word is a great filter. We filter things that we hear, that we register by the five senses, and we look at it that way and let the word sort things out for us. And then, of course, God, when we do that, then he can give us revelation. Then he can show us specifically things. So it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And that's all. It's not most of your heart. It's not part of your heart. It's not some of your heart. It's not most of it, but it's all. All thine heart with everything you have. We are to trust in God, the Savior, the Jehovah, the Creator, the one that loves us, You know, there's no detail, no area in life that God is not concerned about where his children are concerned. You know, if you've ever had children, most of you are parents. You know, you're concerned about every detail of your children's life. You're concerned about everything they do and everything that they're involved with and where they go and what they do and how they think and what they eat and so on and so forth. You know, and God's just that way too. He's a parent. He cares about every detail, every area of our life. And, you know, we don't understand everything that goes on, you know. We don't understand everything that's going on now, and there's a lot of spiritual stuff going on. It's just not physical. I don't know the whys and wherefores and everything that's going on, but I know that God has my back. I know that God is watching over me. God's taking care of me. God's loving me. And he's bigger than any physical situation. He's bigger than any scientific situation. He's bigger than any political situation. He's bigger than any economic situation. Verse 6, it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he, God, Jehovah, the Creator, shall direct thy paths. It's, we don't just recognize him in some ways or when we feel like we need help, because really we need help in everything. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. God loves us. He wants to help us. He wants to bless us. And we are to recognize, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's interesting. That word direct means make straight. He will make our paths straight, or Bullinger says, rightly divide our ways, which is kind of cool, because we're to study to show ourselves approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, and that rightly divided is to be cut exactly, and it's not just in our understanding, but in our practice too, and how we live, how we conduct our lives. Every life, every age, every period of time, will have a crisis or many crises. It will have its plagues. It will have its famines. It will have its challenges. It will have its depressions, its wars, its floods, its earthquakes. You go on and on and on. There's nothing new under the sun. And they're going to keep happening. I don't care how long you live or what period of life you live in. And we have lived probably one of the most peaceful, blessed times in history, economically and physically and politically, to be living in the land that we live in at the time we live in has been pretty good. But these things that come about, even in our country and in the world, are going to keep going, and they're going to keep happening until Christ comes back. And he returns and he sets things in order. Until that time, we're going to still have these things happen. And our refuge, our place of rest, our protection is God and his word. God has given his people wisdom. And he's given us understanding on how to deal with life, how to deal with the troubles and the problems and the difficulties. And so one of the things he says is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall make thy paths straight, or he shall direct thy paths. He'll show you the way. He will absolutely show you the way. Let's go back to chapter 2 of Proverbs. Probably right across the page or back a page. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So, you know, it's kind of similar to chapter 3, verse 1. He said, forget not his law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Here it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my word and hide my commandments with me. You know, I prayed in the beginning that our ears are open and our hearts are prepared to receive God's word. You have to be humble and meek to receive God's word. so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And wisdom and understanding are not from the world, they're from God. You know, God gives us knowledge, and then he gives us wisdom, how to properly apply that knowledge. And as we have that knowledge and wisdom, then we get understanding. Understanding is a flowing together. It's from a word in Greek. It means a flowing together of two rivers. You know, yeah, sunesis. So that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You apply it. You put it to, you know, you put your mind to understanding. And if you ask God to help you and show you and teach you, you will get that wisdom and you will get that understanding. Because it says in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, thou shalt understand the fear or the respect or the awe of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay, so it's there for us. But what does God say? Seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You know, how much effort and time do people put in to find wealth, to find things of great value in the physical world? How much time do people apply to hone their skills and their understandings and their education so that they can make money? I remember years ago there was this guy and he spent his whole life hunting for sunken treasure off the coast of Florida. You know, there were all these legends, and this guy spent years and all his money, and he had a crew and people died and you know, so on and so forth. And then finally he found this treasure. You know, he went through all kinds of misery and physical difficulties, and people died, and I don't think he had a very good family life, but he finally found this treasure. But it was just physical treasure. And you know what? If he's still alive, he's going to die, and he can't take that treasure with him. But God's word gives us promise, and as we look towards God's word, and we understand the riches of his word, there's great joy and there's great profit in it. And he says, thou shalt understand the fear, the respect of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. The word Lord is Jehovah. The word God is Elohim. For the Lord giveth wisdom. He gives it. He doesn't charge you for it. He gives it. All you have to do is take the effort, make the effort to study his word, to get that knowledge, to listen, to apply that knowledge properly. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, and out of God's word. We know that God's word, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God-breathed. That knowledge comes out of God's mouth, figuratively. You know, God doesn't have a mouth. He doesn't breathe, but he gives his word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord, Jehovah, giveth wisdom. He gives us the ability to use the knowledge that he gives us wisely, and then we receive understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, and he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. The NIV says he holds victory in store for the upright. That's how it translates that. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Or in the NIV, he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a buckler. He is a shield to them that walk uprightly. A shield, you know, a buckler is a part of the shield. They had shields in ancient times, and it had a spear point sticking out of the front of the shield in the middle. So it was not only a defensive thing, but it was also an offensive weapon. So, you know, the army would line up and they'd hold their shields and they'd have their spears in one hand and the shield in the other, and they'd march forward and push the enemy back with that point. Verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment or justice and preserveth the way of his saints. He preserves the way. Or it says in the NIV again, he keepeth the paths of judgment. He guards the paths or the way of the just. That's us, the just, the righteous, and preserveth the way of his saints. It says the same thing two different ways to emphasize it. You know, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler for them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the ways of the just or the righteous, and he preserveth the way of his saints. Again, the righteous ones. To emphasize that he has shown us the way. He gives us the way. He preserves it. He guards it. He takes care of it. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment or justice and equity and every good path. You know, there's not just one good path, but there are more than one good path. And depending on where we are in life and what we're doing and what the situation is. But God has a good path for whatever situation we're in, whatever circumstance we find ourselves, or wherever we are in life. He always has the right path for us to go. It's pretty cool, you know? I remember one time I was driving to visit my mother in South Carolina, and I was going from, I guess, New York. And she had moved to South Carolina, went to New York first, and I was driving down to South Carolina, and it was night, and I missed the turn. And when you go through Washington and you go into Virginia, you're on 95, and then 95 splits, and it goes off to the coast, and there's I-85, and it goes west, and it goes to where my mother lived in western South Carolina. And I stayed on 95. So I had a heck of a time finding the right path. But I did, you know, but it took a while. But it took me hours out of my way. When we listen to God, he always has a good path for us, a right path for us. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. You know, God will protect us. He will deliver us. He will show us the right way. He will take care of us. Discretion shall preserve us, and understanding shall keep us. So two things God tells us to do. He tells us to put his word into our mind, into our heart, and to keep it there, to guard it there, to not let it depart. And then it says to trust God in all thy ways. Trust God, rely on him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's go to Psalm 30. When we do that, he will direct us, he will give us wisdom, he will give us understanding. You know, we're bombarded. If you get too involved with watching TV or news, you get bombarded with all kinds of information. And if you don't filter it out, it'll drive you crazy. If you don't understand God's word, it'll fill you with fear. You know, it'll fill you with fear. Now, I'm not saying don't be wise and don't listen to medical experts or all that. Not at all. But you need to have peace. You need to be peaceful and confident and trust in God. God will take care of you. Because, you know, you can't keep all that stuff perfect. You know, every day I go out and get the mail, you know, and the first thing I do is I come in and I wipe all the envelopes off with, disinfectant. Well, what if I miss a spot? You know, I just got to trust God. You know, we've been ordering stuff online rather than go to the store wherever possible. Well, what if you miss something and you forget to wash your hands or, you know, nobody's perfect, are they? Or you do go to the store and you brush up against something with your clothes and, you know, you don't realize it, or a zillion, thousand, million things could happen. And if you think about every single detail, it'll drive you out of your mind. But God takes care of us. God protects us, see? And we just have to rely on Him. We just have to trust Him. And then you know what? If you're doing your best with God's word, if you're doing your best to listen to Him, to stay in fellowship, then if you need to do something, He'll let you know. He'll show you. He'll say, hey, wash your hands, you forgot. Or spray disinfectant on your jacket, you brushed up against it. He'll tell you. He'll show you. He'll protect you. He'll watch over you. Or maybe He'll just kill the virus. How about that? Can God do that? Sure He can. You know, it's kind of funny. One of the things they said is if you're out in the sunlight kills the virus. Well, who invented the sun? God. It's the greatest disinfectant ever known to man is the sunlight. Psalm 30, verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, which means what? I will esteem thee. I will hold thee in a high place, O Lord, O Jehovah, for thou hast lifted me up, hast made my foes to, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Okay? When you cry unto God, He will heal you. O Lord, O Jehovah, thou hast brought my soul up from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive. I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. You know, this is a psalm of David, and he's singing about, you know, how God delivered him. But it's just as true for us. If He would do those things for David, why wouldn't He do it for you? You're His child, His beloved. You're His heir, His joint heir with His Son, Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't He take care of you like He took care of David? So when we cry unto God, we can be assured that He will heal us, that He keeps us out of the grave. He has kept us alive so we don't go down to the pit. And what does He ask for us to do? We sing unto the Lord, unto Jehovah, and we praise Him and we give thanks. And you know, we just need to be thankful all the time for what God has done for us. We need to be thankful on all He's done for us and how He's protected us and how He's watched over us and how He has prospered us. What a great God. He has lifted us up. You know, He did this stuff for David. You know, He protected him. Kept his soul alive from the grave so he didn't go down to the pit. Well, what has He done for us? He has lifted us up. He has seated us in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. It's pretty good. He has given us eternal life. Let's go to Psalm 79. Psalm 79, verse 13. Says, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever, and we will show forth thy praise to all generations. You know, again, this is a psalm. It's a psalm of Asaph. Talking about praise and all the other stuff. But we are God's people. We're beloved. We're better than His sheep. We're His children. We're His family. We're His household. And because of that, because of all the promises, all the commitments that He's given us, we should praise Him and give thanks always to everybody that we know. Thankful to God in every way. Let's go to Psalm 92. Psalm Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks unto God. Why? Because he deserves it. And because we're thankful in our hearts. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. What does that mean? It means all, you know, start your day off with being reflecting on God's loving kindness and end your night with faithfulness. We dwell on God's loving kindness and on his faithfulness. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. We triumph in the works of God. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 15? It says God has given us the victory in Christ Jesus. And when we labor for the Lord, it's not in vain. Those are not the exact words. You can go read it. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58. For the Lord hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. They're deeper than our thoughts. You know, sometimes we used to say, man, he's deep. God is deep. He's beyond our comprehension, but the things he shares with us. And sometimes the greatest depth is in the simplicity. And the simplicity and the beauty of what he tells us. So the first two things we saw is that we are to put God's word in our heart, in our mind, and we are to keep it there. And then the second thing is to trust God with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and seek his wisdom, his guidance, his understanding. And the third thing we need to do is to be thankful to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we are to be thankful. That's the third thing. We are to be thankful. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. You know, God's word gives us a lot of information and gives us a lot of instruction. But it gives us a lot of practical application. Part of that practical application is putting his word in our heart and keeping it there. Because if you don't have his word in your heart and you don't keep it there, then you can't seek after that wisdom and that understanding. He can't work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure because you don't have his word there for him to work with, for him to bring to your remembrance. Chapter 3 of Proverbs again, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Okay. It says, give to God and he blesses you. One of the things that God gave us, to use in our life, to practice in our life, to be blessed, is to give. And that's in all aspects of life. It's not just in your finances and abundant sharing, but it's in all aspects. When we give to God and we give as God directs us to bless people, to help people, to further the word, to build up the body of Christ, and all kinds of situations, he blesses us. You know, when Job went through what he went through with, you know, his children dying and losing all his wealth and being struck with physical illness and disease, you know, then he had the miserable comforters coming and telling him that he must have sinned and done something wrong. When his wife turned on him and said, curse God and die, you know, at the end of it all, God said, pray for your miserable comforters and I'll heal you. And he prayed for them and he got deliverance. He gave. He prayed for those that probably didn't deserve it. But he prayed for them and he got deliverance. So giving, you know, and We should look to give in any way possible. In any way we can, give. Malachi. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. It's the last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. And it's chapter 3, which is, I believe, the last chapter. And this is an interesting chapter because this takes place after the Babylonian captivity, and when the remnant of the Jews came back and they rebuilt the temple and the city and the walls. And they stopped giving. And one of the reasons they stopped giving was because the priesthood was corrupt. The Levites and the priesthood was corrupt. And they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And so, what does God say? Well, in verse 10, he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Wow, what a promise that is. He says, prove me now. It means test me, try me out. Herewith, now, immediately, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what the Lord of hosts means? That's a cool phrase. And host can refer to several things. It can refer to an army. You know, the host of Midian, or the host in the Old Testament, talk about the host of the Philistines and so on and so forth. Or it would refer to the people of Israel, the host of Israel, or the host of Judah, meaning all the people, the population. And the third thing it can refer to is the stars of the heavens. And so many times the unbelievers, the pagans, the other peoples of the Old Testament worship, and even in the New Testament, the Greeks and the Romans worship the stars and the moon and the sun, and you know, they had astrologers and they did all this stuff, you know. So when God says he is the Lord of hosts, it means he's over everything. He's over any army, he's over any people, he's over any other gods. He's over it all. He's bigger than the universe. It's pretty cool, isn't it? He says, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, Jehovah, Lord over all, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. All nations, all peoples shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And it repeats that, the Lord of hosts. Like he guarantees it. It's his commitment to his people. You know, it says tithe here. I just want to say something. Tithe means a tenth. We talk about abundant sharing. Abundant sharing is not a biblical term. It was something that Dr. Werrell talked about years ago, meaning in excess of the tithe. So I'm just sharing that with you. Everybody has to figure out how they do it. Now I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The whole record of Corinthians 8 and 9 is about giving. And in chapter 9, verse 6, it begins, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And this is, you know, speaking in terms of agriculture, of a rural society, because basically their economy revolved around farming. They planted grains and fruits and vegetables, and they had vineyards and they had olive groves and all that kind of stuff, and they had animals, you know, husbandry animal husbandry. You know, they had animals, they raised animals, sheep, and, you know, they used sheep not only for food, but also for wool. So they made clothes out of it, and so on and so forth. So it's talking here about he that sows sparingly. What does that mean? It means to scatter seed, right? To plant seed. Well, if you only plant a little seed, how much crop are you going to get? Small amount. If you plant bountifully to the full extent of your land or what you would carefully plant, you get bountiful. You get a lot. You know, so if you plant a lot, you get a lot. If you plant a little, you get a little. Now, what is our only standard that we know between a little and a lot? It's the tithe. It's the tithe. That's the only thing that stands between a lot and a little. Now, how you disperse that tithe is your personal decision. But that's the standard. That's a standard in the Old Testament. It started with Abraham. It went through the Old Law and into the New Testament. It doesn't say anything about a tithe in the New Testament, but that's the only standard between bountifully and sparingly. That's the only thing that we have as a place of reference, a standard of reference. Then it says in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Every man makes the decision of how he wants to give and what he wants to give and where he wants to give it. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now God loves us anyway, but he especially loves a cheerful giver. You know, it's kind of interesting. I had a newspaper article once that I found that these guys that study psychology did a study, and they gave people $100 and they said, go do whatever you want with it. And they sent them out, and then they came back after they spent the $100, and some people spent it totally on themselves and some people spent it totally on other people. And the people that were most satisfied and most blessed and most happy were the people that spent it on others. And the people that were least satisfied were the people that spent it on themselves. Now, having said that, we live in an interesting society, and you have an income, and you have responsibilities, and you have obligations. And certainly God wants you to take care of those obligations. We're to be good stewards of what we have. So you know, you have to pay your mortgage, or you have to pay your taxes, and you have to pay your utility bills, and you have to have food. God understands that. He understands that. But in your disposable income, you can give. You can give. And you can put God first in your giving. And it says he loves a cheerful giver. And there's all kinds of ways to give. There's all kinds of ways to give. It's incredible. When you really desire to give and to bless people, what God works in your heart to do. And then, not only what he works in your heart to do, but how he blesses you. It's just crazy what God will do for you when you have a giving heart and you're a cheerful giver. He will just do things for you that are just mind-boggling. And then it says in verse 8, and this is just one of the greatest verses in the Bible concerning his heart for his people. It says, and God, who loves the cheerful giver, is able to make all grace abound toward you. And the word grace there, of course, is undeserved favor. But, you know, it's undeserved. God gave us this great law of giving and receiving. So it's by grace that it works, and that he did it to bless us. And the grace in the context here is receiving material things. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. It means to enrich you. Abound means to enrich you. That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, you know, you have everything that you absolutely need may abound, may be enriched unto every good work. I mean, so you have enough and all your needs are met, and then you have in excess so that you can abound, so that you can do good things, so that you can do every good work, meaning the work of God, that you can do what God would have you to do. You have the time to plan a teaching. You have time to bless somebody baking a cake or fixing something for somebody or going to visit somebody that needs help or whatever it is. God will give you the wherewithal. What a great God. So number four is look to give, to bless God and his people in any aspect, in any way. So we have four things we looked at today to be blessed, to trust in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord. Well, first of all, it says, put God's word in your mind and heart and keep it there. Guard it. Then it says, trust in the Lord with all thy ways and he will direct your path. He will give you wisdom and understanding. Then thirdly, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for all that God has done for us all the time. In the morning we wake up and we remember his loving kindness, and then we go to bed at night and we remember his grace and his love and his care for us. And then number four, we look to give and bless God and his people. And let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And that's where we're going to close. Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians is a reproof epistle. You know, and it's very practical. And we're going to begin in verse 13. Well, yeah, 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What does that mean? It means God's always working in your heart. The great work of the Spirit is to direct the heart. And it says he works in you so that you will decide to do his good pleasure, so that you decide to do God's will, you decide to do the good work of the Lord. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. If you remember back, if you've ever read in the Exodus, in Numbers, what happened to Israel all the time? They murmured and disputed. You know, God did all the miracles. He sent the plagues to Egypt. Egypt basically kicked them out, evicted them. And as they left, they gave them all their jewels, all their wealth. Then the Egyptian army followed them. God opened up the Red Sea and allowed them to pass on dry land. And then he closed the Red Sea on the greatest army in the world at that time and destroyed the Egyptian army. And then he took them out in the wilderness and he fed them. He didn't just feed them for a short while. It says he fed them for 40 years. And it says that there was not a feeble knee among them. And even the soles of their shoes did not wear out. Can you imagine? You'd probably get tired of them because they'd be out of style. But if you wore the same shoes your whole life and they never wore out, just think about it. I mean, 40 years is half a lifetime, isn't it? How about it? Well, you grow out of them when you're a kid, but I used to wear out a pair of shoes about every 2 weeks when I was a kid. It drove my mother and father crazy. They'd buy me sneakers, and I'd play basketball, and I'd wear them out. And they'd pull their hair out. God, never let their shoes wear out. The soles of their feet never got a hole in their sandals for 40 years. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. How about that? And you know what? When they had problems, it was because they murmured, because they were unthankful. God says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We shine as lights in the world as we go through this period of time and we are in contact with people that are not believers or don't have a knowledge of the Word of God. We shine as lights because we have confidence. We trust in God. We have put His Word into our hearts. And as we go through this stormy time, we have that depth of the word in our hearts. So it's like we are a fish in the deep sea and we're swimming deep where it's peaceful and calm. And those turbulent waves and storms and winds are just blowing overhead and they don't affect us one iota. So it says that we are blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We shine. We are bright. You know, sometimes we're so used to that light that we don't even notice it until we come up against somebody that's so negative and dark that it just like, it shocks us sometimes. I remember my kids would go to people's houses when they were kids, you know, and you know, when you have your own kids at home, especially my two older ones, when they were only 2 years apart, they were always fighting and always arguing and always doing stuff. They're just, you know, it was never ending. And then they go to somebody's house and they'd stay with somebody and they'd come back and they would say, they were such good kids. And I would scratch my head. Well, yeah, they were believers. I remember Jeffrey joined a Cub Scout unit for a while, a pack. And he couldn't stand it. He quit because the guy that ran the pack wasn't a believer. He was basically an atheist, and he would let the kids run crazy at the meetings, and my son couldn't stand it, you know, because it wasn't what he was used to. He was used to decency and order and things being peaceful. He wasn't used to chaos. He wasn't used to people running amok. So, anyway, we shine as lights. And then it says in verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know what? That's all talking about. Paul is saying, you know, he's going to rejoice because the people that he's taught have held forth the word. They've shined as lights. They've spoken the word. And the teaching of this word is not in vain. The labor that we produce and go through doing the works of God is not in vain. It's all for a purpose. And sometimes we don't see the benefits, and sometimes we don't see the results like we think we should. Well, you know what? There are results. Anytime we speak the word, anytime we believe God, anytime we shine as lights in the world, it introduces light into the darkness, and the light always dispels the darkness. We may not see it all the time, we may not see the effects of our lives, but wherever we go, whatever we do, we affect all around us. We affect the environment around us. You know, you're concerned about the environment, be a believer and walk in light. Shed forth that light. Speak the word of truth. That's what will save the environment. Because you know what? When Adam died, the earth was doomed. The environment was doomed. And the only thing that makes a difference is us believing God, us speaking the word of light. That's all there is. So four things. You know, put that word of God in your heart and keep it there. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and he will direct thy paths. He will give you knowledge. He will give you wisdom and understanding. And then be thankful. Be thankful in everything, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then finally, look to give. Look to give in every aspect of life. Look to bless other people. Look to help and do your best in every situation. And God will do incredible things for you. And let God work in your heart. Just let him work in your heart and see the great things that he's going to bring about. Okay? So I surely love you all. You know, it's such a privilege and honor to know such people, to be a part of what we're a part of, and to have people like you that are so faithful and loving and caring, who want to know the truth, who want to stand for God. And your life does make a difference. Your life is so important to God. You are precious to him, and he loves you far beyond what you could ever imagine. If you have a child and you love them, just think of how much more God loves you. I mean, we can't even imagine. We can't even fathom 1% of how much God loves us. But he does, and we can be confident in that love, and we can be sure of the promises of God and the commitments that he's made to us. So I want to thank you all. And again, if anybody needs anything, if we can help you in any way, please let us know. Please pick up the phone and give us a call. Let us know what you need or how we can help you. And we'll whatever we can do, whatever is in our power. And certainly the very least of all is that we will pray. And I exhort all of you to pray for one another, to pray for this whole situation, to pray for our country, to pray for the people that are sick that are not believers, and to hold forth that word of life at every opportunity. So, Father God, we just thank you for your love and your grace, for the joy it is to be your children, for how much you love us, care for us and watch over us. We thank you for what a great and mighty God you are. We thank you that you are the Lord of hosts and that you put that in your word so many times so we can't forget how mighty you are and how, you know, all things are possible through you. That we can do all things through Christ. That we're more than conquerors in every situation and that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for these things, God, that we can ever keep them in our minds, that we can be peaceful, that we have your peace, and that we can just look to you in every situation, and that you always have an answer. You always have a path. And we thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you all. And Tuesday night, we have Acts again at 7:30.